What does your prayer life consist of? Kind of asked the same question last week. I wonder if our prayer life is more asking, pleading, seeking God's behalf for someone else. Is it something we do just as a duty? Something that we just do because we feel like we're supposed to do? Do we do it and we feel like He is there, but somewhere in a faraway galaxy, sitting on a throne? Maybe it is because we are robot Christians. We do what we're expected. We come to church. We take notes on the sermon. We serve when we're asked. We know the right things to say. We know how to quote someone else's experiences. We know how to attend our Bible studies. And we know how to witness from someone else's material. In short, everything looks okay, but it's rote. It happens because we do it over and over and over and over again. That's what rote means. It's almost like we say before our meals sometimes, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, by His hand we all are fed, give us Lord's daily bread, amen. And we say that, but do we think of what we are saying when we pray? And then we probably, a lot of us in this world today, have the fear of being unloved and rejected. Thousands and tens of thousands and millions of people do. And this is so much what I've been talking about, the common experience of so many people who attend church and try to have an authentic walk with God. I am preaching on transformational prayer. And this is a face-to-face encounter with God. We forget so often when we pray who we're praying to. We are praying to the God of all creation. We are in the Holy of Holies, as I explained to you last week. We are in the presence of God. This is an awesome experience, and I'm here to say that I believe maybe as high as 90% of Christians don't experience that. I've had some times in my life that I had that face-to-face encounter with God in prayer. I know without a doubt He called me into the ministry. That was one of those moments. I know sometimes He has clearly spoken through His Word or in some way to let me know that this is what you should be talking about. I've had those encounters, but I want to tell you, I haven't had enough of them. I need to have a lot more of them, as we all do. We struggle in our prayer lives. Many ministers struggle. Barna survey, 16% of them are satisfied with their personal prayer life. 47% of the ministers are somewhat satisfied, but 30% of the ministers, that's a third, are dissatisfied with their prayer life, and 7% of them, which is close to 10%, are not at all satisfied with their prayer lives. I want to tell you in the next few weeks, what is transformational prayer? The man that got me onto this is Daniel Henderson from Liberty University. He goes all over the country speaking about these face-to-face encounters, and I will explain that more to you as the time goes by. And I wish we could get him here maybe to do a revival. I think he'd do a great job on prayer. But irregardless, what I feel like is happening is what J. Oswald Sanders said, a wonderful Christian. I think he's a wonderful devotional writer and scholar from the past. He said, we sometimes pay lip service to the delight and power of prayer. We call it indispensable. We know the scriptures call for it, but we often fail to pray. This morning, I want you to know that the devil uses weapons of mass distraction, to keep us from getting this close personal relationship with the Lord. Now, that's what we're wanting, a close, tight, so personal that we feel like He is right with us. He's right there all the time in that relationship with the Lord, and it comes through prayer. But many of us don't feel that. And the devil doesn't want us to feel that. He doesn't want you to be close with God. He wants you to be as far away from God as you can be. And so today, just a few of the weapons of mass distraction that the devil throws our way. First of all, spiritual warfare. Yeah, I believe in that. The devil knows about God. He knows about the power of prayer. He knows about the promises of prayer. And he knows that he's in trouble when people are praying and churches are taking prayer very seriously. And he also knows that every major spiritual revival in this country, in England, wherever it was, began with heartfelt prayer. That's where it began, when people prayed seriously. So he starts sending his fiery darts at us to keep our minds off prayer, to keep our minds from getting close to God and having this face-to-face encounters with Him. He bombards us with doubt. He bombards us from keeping to pray in faith. He bombards us to forget that passage in Hebrews 11:6, that the Lord is the one who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The devil is threatened by believers who pray and by congregations who take it seriously. And so, one of the mass distractions to this kind of praying is spiritual warfare. The devil is fighting you to keep you away from the joy of prayer and getting intimate with God. Secondly, there is the fear of intimacy. One writer has called this, and I like this, spiritual age, acute intimacy deficiency syndrome. In other words, we carry baggage from the past, sins we've done, things we wish we hadn't done. Maybe we were abused when we were growing up. Maybe our parents were distant and never said they loved us. Maybe they were negligent to us and we never felt close to them. And for reasons like that, we don't want to feel close to God. We don't want to get too close to anyone, but especially we don't want to get too close to God. We don't trust Him enough. We don't want to have that personal intimacy because we fail to ever have it in our life with others. Sometimes I think it's that people just get the wrong idea about God's character that keeps them as a distance from Him. They think He is a faraway deity God who loves to get mad at us and zap us when we do wrong. We forget that He is one who loves us so much, as I told the children. We think of Him as somebody we'll never be able to please. It's impossible to please Him. And we read the biblical text that tells us, well, it is good to draw near to God, Psalm 73:28, and Hebrews 10:22. We should draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. The Bible tells us plainly that He wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants us near to Him so He can draw near to us, as James 4:8 tells us. But the reality of us doing this, of trusting Him enough to doing it, of things that have happened in the past, of leftover baggage that we're carrying, we don't do it because we're fearful of intimacy. Another form of mass distraction, this is form number three, is misguided focus. Some of us view prayer as a last result. Have you ever heard anyone say, I should have said resort. Have you ever heard anyone say, well, we've tried everything else, let's pray. Boy, that is putting prayer down on the list, isn't it? I've heard people say that. Terrible thing to say. We think that we've tried it all and let's see what God can do now. You know what? You ought to try it first. first. That ought to be the first thing you do. You don't have to wait in the waiting room for God. You know, He's there. He's open. He's ready to listen to you. You won't get a busy signal. He's there all the time for you. But we act like prayer is sending maybe like a spiritual email to the Lord. And we send it to Him, so, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens and how He's going to manage the affairs of my life. We forget that prayer is something far more than that. It is an intimate way that we get close to God and trust in Him to guide us and guard us and lead us every step of the way, every day. So many of us look at prayer this way. Thy will be done in heaven as on earth. So many of us pray, Lord, may my will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Did you hear what I said? May my will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Will you answer this my way? Will you do this for my glory, for my honor, and not yours? And many people pray like that. That is not praying. It is done for the honor of God, for His glory through our lives, that His will might be done, yes, in heaven and here on earth through us. But many of us don't pray that way. And one of the reasons we mess up on prayer is we don't read the owner's manual. What is the owner's manual of prayer? That's exactly right. The Bible, Scripture, we don't read it enough. We're going to look at some scriptural prayers in the weeks to come. When we get the focus right, like wearing these bifocals. I had the hardest time with bifocals. You know, I fell down many a step getting used to them. But we don't look at the Bible clearly. We don't adjust our vision to it to see what it's teaching us. And when our focus becomes clear and correct, God's going to work powerfully in your life. If you're a new Christian, if you are an established Christian, and even if you're a respected spiritual leader. One of my favorite preachers and authors from the past, a man named Reuben Archer Torrey, R.A. Torrey. He was God's instrument for revival in many parts of this world. He testified that an utter transformation came over him when he learned not only to pray and return thanks, but to worship in his prayer. Not to have an agenda. Too many of us have an agenda for our prayer life. But just to go to Him with no agenda, just to fall down on our faces and open our hearts to listen to Him and worship Him and realize who He is and where we're at in the Holy of Holies. And he said when he realized that, his whole life became different. And he became the powerful preacher that we remember him for today. The Lord can help you refocus your prayers if you want Him to, with great results. We look at mass distraction number four, counterproductive tradition. We have sometimes learned to pray through tradition. We have prayed in rote terms, as I said a while ago, over and over and over the same kind of prayers. God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless grandma, God bless grandpa, God bless my brother, thank you for this food on the table, God, thank you for this and that. But we never ask Him to lead us through His Holy Spirit. We go into many prayer meetings there to pray for people. We have a list of people we pray for. Nothing wrong with that. We should do that. But we forget that we're coming on the foundation of God's Holy Word. And we tend to get more into discussions of others' lives than to remember who we're praying to about them, the Almighty God, and what He can do, because He truly is a problem solver. And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it ugly, but it is true, and I've heard it said so many times. Some prayer meetings, you don't mean for it to. Maybe it happens accidentally. And maybe you mean for it too. Some prayer meetings become gossip sessions. Now, what am I saying? Well, we think about so-and-so, and boy, they sure have been having a lot of problems. You heard what they're going through at home, haven't you? No, I hadn't. Well, let me tell you what they're going through. Their marriage is not going good. And so and it becomes a gossip session. And that's not what God wants of a prayer meeting. He wants us to be committed to pray for these people, but not to delve into their personal lives and turn prayer meetings into gossip sessions. To look at the foundation of His Word, realize who we're praying to. These people do genuinely have a need, and we bring it to Him and ask for His will to be done. But we don't sit there and talk for 40 minutes about how somebody's doing or what they're going through and spend 5 minutes in prayer. It should be just the opposite. 5 minutes of what the people have or what situation that we need to pray for in their life and not their whole life and not opening up all their personal life. And then spend 40 minutes in prayer would be far better. Mass distraction number 5. Boredom. Boredom. How can I say this? Let me say this. God is not the author of boredom. God isn't boring. If He is boring, it's on your side, not His. God is exciting. He is vibrant. He is all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient. He is able to do everything. Nothing is impossible with God. You are conversing with one who created it all and can do anything. That is not boring. You are praying to the God of all the universe, the God of all creation. Nothing boring about Him. Nothing boring about what He's done for you to assure you that He's willing to have an intimate relationship with you. And so some of us, we look at prayer as just a real yawner. You know, oh, it's just boring and we're just going to go to prayer meeting and sit there and say this and that and just, you know, go on. You forget that a real transformation can take place in your life if you will trust Him and realize who you are praying to, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A number 6 mass distraction is, I'm always wanting to say mass destruction. I've heard this so much, you know, on television. Mass distraction is a lack of positive models. We need good, positive models to listen to and to pray with. I have a dear friend, not a member of this church, but I want to tell you something. This man can pray. I have never heard anyone pray like him. And when he prays, he carries me into the Holy of Holies. This man is a Gideon. He has been here to this church. And I love him so much, and he's prayed for me so much. He comes into my house every week and prays for me. He carries my son home from the handicap dance every Tuesday night to help me. He comes in and thanks God for this church and what you've done for the Gideons. But Jack Hensley has meant so much to me, and he's my mentor in prayer. And the more I listen to him, the more I learn from him. Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean that you got all the secrets to pray. You can find you a mentor who really, you feel like, takes you into the Holy of Holies. And he mentioned something to me the other week that really, really worked for their church at Trinity. And Jack, I want to remember this the next time we have a deacon's meeting. I don't know if you want to do it or not, but he said it changed his church so much you wouldn't believe it. They took a 24-hour period, and every hour of that day, for 24 hours, someone came into that church and prayed. Prayed for many things, but specifically for the life of that church. 24 people did that. Now, you could even break it down into 48 people if you wanted a half hour, but however, and I'll guarantee if you want to do this, I'll take one of the early mornings. I don't mind. But it changed the life of his church so much. And I believe it would work here. If we are totally committed to having an intimate relationship with the Lord, and this church doing so, to spend a 24-hour day in prayer for this church and for its witness to the community. This is going right along with what Matt has taught us in the theme that he's brought up. for us to be disciples. Jesus spent so much of his time in prayer, getting up early in the morning, praying throughout the day. He was a man of prayer. He believed in prayer. Now, it says here, D.A. Carson wrote this, "Many forms of Christian discipleship, not the least prayer, are more effectively passed on by modeling them than by formal teaching." In other words, what he's saying, I can teach this all day. I can tell you about this all day. But if you've got a dear, precious friend that you can pray with that is a good role model, that will teach you far more than anything else. And of course, you need to get in God's Word too. I'm not leaving that out. But that person that's a good model is doing that most of the time. And so they will give you that good encouragement to look at biblical models and to cause you to want to pray and to pray and have an intimate relationship with the Lord. So get a good mentor. Find someone that is a good example and follow them and learn from them. Of course, the greatest example of all is our Lord Jesus Christ, and we learn about that through reading the Word. Well, here are what I think are the great spiritual distractions, the mass weapons of distraction toward prayer. These things that happen to keep our minds off of what our minds should be on. The mass weapons of distraction. I've told you what they are. There are more. We're too busy sometimes. Never should be too busy to pray. Our minds cluttered up. We ought to take time just to sit down and get them uncluttered. Many other things. But let me tell you about the breakthrough. I want to close today telling you about the Brooklyn Tabernacle. How many of you have heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle? Okay. I've heard of them because they got one of the Brooklyn Tabernacle choir, you know. But I've heard of them also through the changes that have come through the drug addicts and prostitutes and all kinds of people that have been in that church, that their life has changed. What they do, they get together every Tuesday night. Now, this is not the only model. There are more. But on Tuesday nights, they get together. There you will see people who really know how to pray. Now, there are other models. When I was in South Korea, those people prayed like I've never seen before. They pray for you when they come up and put their arms around you and put their face on your shoulder. The tears, the stains would be there where they have cried in their prayer. They were so intense for you because they loved the Lord and loved you so much. But here these people get together under the leadership of Pastor Jim Cymbalta. 4,000 people gather every week. Without any agenda but to seek and enjoy the abundance of His presence. And that prayer energizes that church to be the great witness that it is. And read about the great witness that they've been living in the communities that they're at and how people have been changed. A Brazilian proverb said this long ago, "The heart cannot taste what the eyes have not seen." I'm trying to lead us into this so close relationship, this face-to-face with God relationship, that you'll understand what a transformation can happen in your life and in our church. I want us to be spiritual pyromaniacs, that we have such a prayer life that other people will catch it, because it's better caught than taught. It's better to be infectious with it. To discover that the power and the promises of prayer are real and they can change anything, even our lives. People, listen, I know this is true and it can happen. We're going to look at what exactly I mean by this face-to-face encounter. And we're going to look at Moses and what happened and how people knew that he had been in the presence of God next week. So be praying for me. This is all new to me, but I believe it. It works. And it's going to work here too if you will pray for me and join with me in this thing to become better disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the altar is always open for us as we have our invitation hymn. Maybe you want to pray that the Lord will lead you into a deeper prayer life. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you'd like to join this church. Whatever. This altar is open as we sing hymn number 428. Hymn number 428. May we stand as we sing.